Good morning. It's great to be with you again online and to bring God's Word to you. I hope you will be strengthened, comforted, and encouraged by the Scriptures. You know, during the pandemic, we're still doing one-on-ones with folks, and several of our elders are meeting with people. I've been meeting with folks on their back porches, having coffee outside. I've been going even brave the restaurants with several people. So people want to meet. And people have been having very honest conversations with me about their lives and their struggles. And I've noticed that people are tired and anxious and frustrated. And there's this low-level anger that persists in all of us. And, you know, I've experienced those things as well. I've been frustrated. I've been anxious. I have that low-level anger going on, too. And part of it is due to the fact that we have not met for corporate worship. I hope that will end soon. More about that this week. But during this time, as we've been stuck in this online pandemic ministry, if you would, as your pastor, I've asked myself, you know, what do people need to hear? How should people be strengthened and comforted and encouraged by the Scriptures? What do I need to remind you about? And so I went back to one of my favorite books, The Abiding Presence by Hugh Martin. And I plan to have four lessons on this book, this super book. I encourage you to get it. It's a hard read, but it's worth it. But our first lesson was to remind you that we are in the present evil age. We are in a difficult, tragic world and a difficult, tragic time. But the good news is that Jesus promises to be with us to the end of the age. And that's pretty much how Hugh Martin builds his book. He builds his book on that verse, "I am with you, behold, I am with you even until the end of the age." His book is about the abiding presence of Christ in our lives. And so the question is, how is Christ with us? How is Jesus with us? We know the answer is that Jesus is with us through His Spirit, and He is with us through His Word, the Word of God. The presence of Christ and the biography, the life of Christ, they go hand in hand, they go together. You have to have both. And this morning, we're going to talk some more about the spiritual presence of Christ and how necessary that is, and also how necessary the Scriptures are to us enjoying Him and knowing His presence. So that's where we're headed. Let's get started. As we begin, let me give you a quick review from last time. When you read somebody's biography, even though that person is not there with you, you can still benefit a lot from their story. We benefit a lot, greatly, from the story of Christ, obviously. But when we read the biography of Christ, and when you consider how it ends, "Behold, I am with you even until the end of the age," what he says at the end of Matthew, you realize that when you read it, if you mull over what Jesus is saying, and if what he says is true, and we believe it is, it's really like he is having a conversation with you. It's like he's sitting across the table from you, enjoying you, and you are enjoying him. And last week, to get that point across, I ask you to read those passages that are, again, printed for you there in the bulletin from Matthew chapter 28. We just talked about that. "Behold, I am with you to the end of the age." And also that verse in the book of Revelation where John is afraid and Jesus places his right hand on him and says, "Do not be afraid." We need to hear that every day. I need to hear it. You need to hear it. But he says, "Do not be afraid. I am." There's the divine name of God. Jesus claims that name for himself throughout the Bible. "I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and now, look, I am alive forever and ever." The point is, I need to slow down. You need to slow down when we read the Scriptures, when we spend time with Christ in prayer. We need to let him have the first word of the conversation. And it's a good exercise just to sit there and open the Bible, look at those verses, and stop and slow down the words of Christ to us. And I haven't done that every day. I hope that you've done it several times. And as a result, I hope that God has done what he's done and for you, what he's done for me when I slow down, when I humble myself in his presence. And that's not normally the way we operate. We move around quickly. We want to have the first word. We want to have the last word. We want to dominate the direction of the conversation and so forth. But when we do this, it slows us down and it gets our mind off of ourselves for just a few moments anyway. And you know, that's a good thing. That's actually called humility. You know, C.S. Lewis says, humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. That's the attitude that Jesus has towards us by continuing to want to meet with us. He's thinking about us over himself. He still does that. He cares deeply for us, right? And as that happens, and as I realize Jesus is for me and he loves me, he's moving towards me, that moves me. It melts my heart. And that's when I begin to pray and thank him, praise him, and pray for you and as your pastor. So the goal of the first lesson was to remind you that we are in the present evil age. We're in a tragic world, but Jesus Christ is with us. He promises his presence. The second lesson was to remind us that we experience the presence of Christ deeply and powerfully as we read the Bible. And also, we said last time that we experience the presence of Christ when we're with other Christians. And that's why we have these interviews with members of the body of Christ at Faith for you to listen so that you'll listen to so that you can get to know these folks better. Last week, we talked to Justin Williams, learned more about his life. This week, Grant interviewed Charlie Neal, and I look forward to you hearing what Charlie has to say. I know it will be an encouragement to you, and these guys are funny. You'll enjoy watching them interact. But this is where we're going again. When you read the Bible, you need to see God's heart for you in Christ. And if you will listen, you will sense his presence and you will see that God is for you. And so we're going to continue to think about reading the Bible that way this morning. The Bible is the biography of Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is present in his biography. But here's the question. Remember, we're thinking about experiencing the presence of Jesus in our lives, which is so vital for us to understand. But here's the question. What if we had the biography alone without the presence of Christ? What if we had just the Bible without his presence? You know, some people love to read the Bible. You know, they're fascinated by it. And who wouldn't be? It's full, if you really read it, it's full of great stories and marvels, right, about all these people. And it covers a lot of history and so forth. But if the Bible is just history, you know, something of the past that's long, long gone, you really can't make any personal or direct connection with it. You know, you might use your imagination to put yourself in the story. You know, you can think about how cool it would have been to, for example, to have been there when Moses, God parts the Red Sea through Moses, or to see all the plagues in Egypt, or to watch Samson, you know, hammer out his wrath on the, God's wrath on the Philistines. Think about, I love those stories when I was a kid, or think about David killing Goliath, or moving forward to the New Testament, think about Jesus, you know, walking on water, or raising Lazarus from the dead, you know, wow, what would it have been like, you know, to let me place myself back there in my imagination, right? Or you might wish that you were a person that, or imagine yourself to be a person that Jesus spoke directly to, like offering his forgiveness and peace, or his healing in your life, right? But if that's all you have, if that's all you have is your imagination and the Bible, all you're really doing is, it's like watching a great movie. You're just really escaping reality for a little while, or you're just building your own dream, right? And you know what happens with dreams, even the good ones? You eventually wake up and you wind up being disappointed. And so if all you have are the stories, and even if you try to place yourself in the stories, it doesn't matter how moving the stories are, they're just stories. They're just history, right? And so even if you're really interested in the Bible and you like to look at it and you like to read it, but you just have the biography without the presence, the Bible is going to leave you flat and alone, and eventually you're going to move on to something else. That's why it's so important to remember when we read the Bible in every place that we're reading, that Jesus has promised his presence. We need to learn to listen to his voice. We need to hear him say, "Listen to me. You know, I'm with you," which also means I care for you. I'm for you. You're not just holding a book. You're holding on to Jesus. In fact, he's got his hand on your shoulder and he's saying, "Do not be afraid." He's the one holding you. And so Jesus makes it possible for us to enjoy his presence, to be amazed at him, and to worship him. You know, there's a place in John's account of the gospel when the Pharisees send some of the temple police to arrest Jesus. Go get him. Bring him back. We're tired of all this, right? And the men come back empty-handed. They don't bring Jesus back. And the leaders ask them, "What's wrong? Why didn't you bring him back? Why didn't you do what we asked you to do?" And they said this. They said, "No one has ever spoken like this man speaks." No one speaks like this man speaks. No one has ever spoken this way. And when you and I, by faith, experience the presence of Jesus Christ in his word, as you hear Jesus strengthen, comfort, and encourage you through the scriptures, you too will say, "No one has ever spoken to me the way this man speaks." That's what happens when Jesus makes his presence known in our hearts through his word. So Jesus is present in his spirit, and he is present in his biography. We just considered what it would be like if we just had the book without the presence. But here's another question as we continue to think about the presence of Christ in our lives. What would it be like if we just had the promise of his presence and we didn't have the biography? To put it another way, what if you just had the presence of Christ without the book, without the Bible? Say somehow the church for 2,000 years just passed that information of his presence, that promise, that one promise, down by word of mouth, right? A great promise. But there was no Bible, nothing written down, no documentation whatsoever. Catherine is a trained nurse. Susan's a nurse as well. They're both went to nursing school. And, one of the things they teach you as medical people is to document, keep everything straight, write it all down, right? And we should thank the Lord that in his grace, that the Bible that we have is well documented. There are over 5,000 Greek manuscripts that have been collected over time, and thousands of Latin manuscripts and other languages as well. I think there's something like 32,000 sources that scholars over the years have used to put together the very words of Jesus Christ and his apostles and the prophets and so forth. There's a great body of evidence that what we have truly is and are the words of Christ and the apostles and the prophets. The Bible is super reliable. But what if we didn't have the Bible? What if all we had was the promise of the presence of Jesus Christ? That's really not a nonsense question, right? Because a lot of Christians live their lives, they're taught to be in awe of Jesus. They're taught to love him and to worship him and serve him and so forth, but they never look at their Bible, right? And that's very dangerous because to them, Jesus then becomes like a ghost. And you know what it's like with ghosts. You don't really know what they're going to do and or what they're going to say next. You know, I have this, I was 31st out of 32 grandchildren. I was on almost the tail of the caboose, right? Almost. But my mother, grandmother was very, very old when I came along, and I have these vague memories of her. She was making strawberry jelly in her kitchen and so forth. And I remember that. And I remember her helping me write a letter to my other grandmother at Christmas. But I just don't remember anything she said. I don't remember her voice. And if all you do and all you have is the spiritual presence of Christ, if you don't have a Bible, that's the way you're going to experience who Jesus is, right? Jesus will be too mysterious. And if that's the case, if you don't have the Bible, if you don't have the real voice of Jesus, if you just believe Jesus is with you, right? And you never read the Bible and hear his voice in the scriptures, something very dangerous will happen. You're going to wind up creating a Jesus in your own image who really is a ghost. He's someone that doesn't really exist. And if that's the case, if you don't really know what he's like, if he's just a mystery, you won't really experience his love. And you won't experience his loving correction in your life. You won't have a real relationship with him. You know, God is transforming us to be like Christ through his word. But if the word is absent, then there will be no real transformation into his image. And that's why for Christianity to work, you have to have both. You have to have the voice of God in the Bible itself, the words of Scripture, and you have to have the presence of Jesus in the Scriptures. They go together. The good news is that the Bible isn't just a biography. Jesus has promised his presence in it. He says, "I am with you always, even until the end of the age." And when we believe that promise by faith, when we believe that he is with us, when we read the Bible, our hearts are strangely warmed. We know for sure our relationship with him isn't just something that we've made up. It's not just a dream. Because we believe he is with us by faith. And when he is with us by faith, we sense him speaking powerfully into our hearts. And all the grace and all the glory of the Bible stories of the past become our gifts and grace and glory, gifts to us right now in the present. You know, Jesus takes all the historical truths of the Bible stories and he brings those stories and the truth of those stories right into our lives, right into the present. Hugh Martin puts it this way. He says, "The presence of Christ gives present reality and life to the biography." Presence of Christ gives present reality and life to the biography. And the biography gives us a clear and definite picture of God's Son and his grace. The Bible is the life of Jesus Christ. And so, in summary, the Bible is like a mirror. In it, we clearly see the presence of Jesus Christ. And his presence is not mysterious. It's not vague. In this mirror, you clearly see the glory of Christ. And in this mirror, you clearly see his heart for us. His heart of great love and service and sacrifice to his sheep, to his people, to God's children. During this time especially, we need to experience the presence of Jesus Christ, our King. We need his strength. We need his comfort. We need his encouragement. And the good news is that he will offer himself, and he does offer himself through his word and spirit. And so as we close, I'm going to read this passage from Romans that's printed in the bulletin for you. I want you to go back and to read it as if Jesus is speaking to your heart. In fact, that is exactly what he's doing. We need to learn the scriptures. We need to learn to hear the scriptures that way. Now, Jesus also gives us his presence through one another. He especially gives us his joy through one another. And again, I want to remind you that Grant interviewed Charlie this week, and I know that you're going to enjoy watching that. You know, enjoy means putting joy into something, and God always puts his joy in our hearts through one another as we love one another, care for one another. So I hope you will listen to that and enjoy it as I have. Listen to the Word of God as we close. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I remind you again, Jesus says in Matthew, go make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you, even until the end of the age. May God bless you and keep you. Amen.